Are you ready for the Midwest Horse Fair? Blaine's Farm and Fleet sure is. Visit their booths at the Alliant Energy Center in Madison, Wisconsin this year, April 19th to the 21st. They'll have exclusive discounts, prize giveaways, and more. See farmandfleet.com for details. Can you feel it?
Here we use a lot of F words. Food, fiber, and farming. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
A little frosty out there this morning as well on a Tuesday. As we get started, I'm Pam Youngke. Welcome in. Yeah, the weather's a little chilly outside, but improving this week. Boy, I'll tell you what, the stock markets, though, this morning, they are really on the chilly side. Right now, Dow Jones Industrial Average down more than 500 points before they even officially get rolling today. It appears that there is still a lot of world concern about this new Omicron detection as far as a variant of the COVID-19. That's something we'll be talking about a little bit with John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. He'll catch up with us live this morning with the latest news on that development. For today, as far as weather is concerned, look for sunshine. We're going to warm up to around 44 degrees. Overnight lows down to 26. Tomorrow, a few clouds, but all the way up to 50. Thursday, partly cloudy and 50 degrees. Even Friday, some clouds, but we'll still say right in the 40s for our daytime high. Stumacher Ag Meteorologist has our mild weather details coming up.
Join us for our latest Gempler's Test Plot segment only on the Midwest Farm Report. Stephanie Hoff here, and this month I make Gempler's my one-stop shop for gifts. At the Gempler store in Mount Horeb and online at Gempler's.com, I pick out clothing, gear, and tools to fit the lifestyle of my loved ones. Gempler's has the gifts that keep on giving, allowing you and yours to do what you love smarter, faster, and safer in the new year. Follow along with me and our friends at Gempler's at MidwestFarmReport.com.
Anybody as old as I am will remember Johnny Carson and the pandemic he created years ago on his show talking about a toilet paper shortage. Bob Osel here at the northern end of the world's longest barn. And as soon as he said it, the grocery stores and other places that sell the product ran out. Stephanie, that's coming to life again, isn't it?
It is. But Bob, I don't think it's a hoarding issue this time. I think we will all remember the toilet paper shortages and panic buying of 2020. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. And Bob, paper making is a strength in Wisconsin. So why are people still seeing low bath tissue supply? I ask Scott Suter. He's the president of the Wisconsin Paper Council, and he points to transportation, shortage of truck drivers as being the number one issue.
There are so many supply chain problems that, you know, everyone's experiencing. While our manufacturers of bathroom tissue and paper towels and paper products are working round the clock, there are supply chain issues. Getting goods to market is a serious problem. There's truck driver shortages across the nation. And while that's not the fault of the paper industry, we are certainly affected by it. So it's not as if there isn't bathroom tissue or paper towels that's being produced. The problem is the supply chain, getting the goods to market, and frankly, getting the raw product to the mills as well. Those driver shortages, those shortages of, and those backlogs. I mean, you've seen the ships off the coast, off the East Coast and off the West Coast, the cargo ships. We've seen train problems in terms of backlogs. Of getting goods to and from market. So there's no one really in terms of manufacturers to blame per se, but we are absolutely affected by it, and that is affecting consumers as well. So you're seeing shortage of goods on the shelves as a result, mostly, I'd argue, as a result of the supply chain problems. But it's not as though mills have shut down or that the mills are not producing the product. It's really getting goods, you know, to the mills and getting the raw product to the mills and getting the goods to market. It's a complicated issue. I don't have a solution. We're working with our supply chain to make sure that we get our goods to market. But this is a nationwide problem that we're hoping turns around very quickly, because we know consumers want those products and they need those everyday paper products that they depend on that are recyclable, renewable, and sustainable.
Yeah, Scott, I know you just said you don't really have a solution, but is there going to be a time when the paper industry is like recruiting truck drivers for other companies or recruiting workers for other places, not just yourself, just to make sure things are operating smoothly in the transportation end?
Sure. Our members are trying everything possible to get those goods to market. While there's a driver shortage, we're looking at options to make sure that those products get on the shelves. We're doing everything we can. There's a worker shortage as well. We can't find enough people, even in our own mills, to do everything that we need to do. While we're working 24/7 producing product, these are issues that affect almost every manufacturer and every small business throughout the nation. You've seen it in restaurants. You've seen it, you've seen partial closures of businesses that want to be in business because of the worker shortage. Those individuals that, for whatever reason, aren't coming to work, it's affecting everyone. So it's sort of a snowball effect in terms of all these issues affecting ultimately consumers. And I just want to assure folks that our industry, the paper and pulp industry, and the converting industries, are doing everything we can to get those goods that people depend on for their everyday lives to market. We're just being affected like everyone else because of those other issues that are affecting the supply chain.
It's kind of interesting because on the other side of things, there's an oversupply of timber. And for those who don't know, Wisconsin timber is not for lumber. It's for pulp and paper.
Again, it's getting the goods, getting that timber to the mills, getting that timber to the sawmills. If you don't have enough drivers, and even though you may have the trucks, it's really an issue, to continue that flow of goods and services, the raw product and the finished product, to where they need to be. So yes, there's backlogs, and we want to get our goods, and I'm sure the forestry industry wants to get that timber to where it needs to go as well. But it's complicated and exacerbated by the fact there's worker shortages and truck driver shortages, and we're not blaming the trucking industry. Please understand that. But it is a serious issue that I would hope that policymakers, especially on the federal level, will take a serious look at, because this is affecting consumers. It's affecting consumer prices. And what we want is to make sure our goods and services are at market so that people can live their everyday lives. But it is a complicated issue that's affecting the entire nation.
Yeah, and we know that timber and paper manufacturing is important to Wisconsin, and it's a robust industry in Wisconsin. But will any of these backlogs or supply chain issues maybe spark more closures in that sector, kind of like what we saw with the Verso mill? Any worries there?
We're always concerned about how our industry is affected by whether it's regulations or impacts as a result of the supply chain. But I can assure you that our mills are very diversified. These are highly technological operations. And, the false narratives out there that, paper is dead or paper is dirty or the jobs are so-so, that's all absolutely false. There have been a few closures, yes, in recent years. But I can tell you the industry's strong. We are still the number one paper producing state in the entire nation. We intend to stay that way. And our members are diversifying and doing research and development that is just amazing. And the diversity of products out there is going to keep the industry strong, for years to come. We just have to make sure that, and we're affected by supply chain issues like this. And we just have to make sure that the state recognizes the impact that the industry has. Our 30,000 men and women that are working every day to produce these essential products, we need policymakers to realize how important this is and how important it is, not just to our overall state economy, but to every single community, that our members work and play in and raise their families in as well.
Will we see paper prices go up, even though timber's aplenty and prices are good on that end, but because you guys have to work so hard to get it on the shelf?
We are hoping this is a temporary issue in terms of the supply chain. We don't control that, of course. But we're very cognizant that, people want our products, and, that it affects, our members' bottom line in terms of, inflation as well. We can't control that because it's a nationwide issue, but we're hoping that this is a temporary issue that can be resolved so that you'll see stock shelves once again and a constant flow of those essential products, those paper products that our members make every single day.
Scott, is there anything else you'd like to add?
Well, I just, you know, if folks are looking for good paying jobs, our industry is hiring. Please, you know, let us know, let the mills know. Again, these are good paying, highly technological, sustainable jobs that are family supporting. So we, like a lot of other industries, small businesses and large businesses, are looking for workers and a whole host, whole array of business sectors. So please reach out to us if you're looking for work. We've got great jobs.
Well, thanks so much, Scott, for your time. Again, Scott Suter, the president of the Wisconsin Paper Council. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Dairyland Seed Pride. It's what you get when the corn you grow stands as tall as the...
Thank you. That'll be all for now. I can take it from here.
Excuse me. And who are you?
I'm the new guy. Here to tell everyone that, starting now, we're going to start saying a little less and just let our performance do the talking.
But I'm a voiceover professional. Talking is what I do.
Yeah, but our corn hybrid lineup is the strongest it's ever been, with 210 top 5 finishers in 2020, first and university trials combined. So I'm afraid there's just not much to say when the data already says it all.
What about Dairyland Seed Pride?
Still there, and stronger than ever. Same with our dedicated team and around-the-clock support. Just now we have the numbers to simply shut up and yield.
So you won't be needing me anymore?
Sorry.
But I love this job.
That's what makes this so hard. See how Dairyland Seed corn hybrids bring the yield in your soils and conditions at DairylandSeed.com.
The Madison Police Department and Madison Area Crime Stoppers need your help with an armed robbery investigation. On October 30th at 3:41 a.m., officers were dispatched to the Quick Trip at 7502 Mineral Point Road for an armed robbery. The suspect entered the Quick Trip with a black handgun and demanded cash. The suspect is described as a slender, light-skinned male in his mid-20s. He is approximately 6'2" tall, wearing a blue hoodie, black pants, and vest with a blue mask. He fled with an undetermined amount of cash. This incident may be related to an armed robbery at Walgreens on Mineral Point Road. If you have any information regarding this incident, please contact the Madison Police Department at 608-255-2345. If you wish to remain anonymous, please contact Madison Area Crime Stoppers at 608-266-6014 or on the web at p3tips.com. Individuals contacting Crime Stoppers can receive up to $1,000 in cash rewards for tips that lead to an arrest.
From farm to fork and everything in between, we cover it all. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, I'll tell you one thing. There is not enough snow covering it all across the state of Wisconsin. I know I looked at my camera up at our Green Bay house, and they've got snow on the ground that's stuck around. Not so much for the rest of us. And even if it's out there this morning, it may not stay out there. Stu Muck, ag meteorologist, joining us live this morning to give us an update on what's coming our way weather-wise. Yeah, it's really kind of interesting to think that tomorrow is the 1st of December, but we're talking about some temperatures that could easily get near or above 50 degrees yet this week.
Oh, yeah. I think 50s aren't out of the question at all, even possibly today at La Crosse, certainly tomorrow, La Crosse and the rest of us falling in tomorrow and on into the day Thursday as well. Very, very mild. You talked about that little snow kind of sticking on. It doesn't stand much of a chance, you know. In the next couple of days, there's a little better chance we have some sunshine like today, tomorrow as well, even on toward Thursday. The sun really going to do a number on any of that that's sticking somewhere unless it's really protected. And then when you push those temperatures up into the 40s and even low 50s, it's pretty much going to be leaving us. So let's talk about why we get this mild air. A little Alberta Clipper zipped through here yesterday and last night. The Clipper over near lower Michigan, northern parts of Indiana today. There's another weak system up into southern Canada. But at least for now, with the absence of that little system that moved through, there's no precipitation for us to talk about. They have some sprinkly rain out in Nebraska. That's about it. Some lake effect snow further east in the Great Lakes. Wisconsin really pretty quiet this morning, and I think we'll stay pretty fair today. Sunshine, a little breezy, northwest winds could push up to 15, maybe 20 miles per hour now and again. That does add a little bit to the chill, but nothing drastic. Temperatures do stand a bit of a chance to warm up with the help of that sunshine that'll be around today, no doubt there. But then the next little system zips in from the northwest. Very late tonight into the early morning hours of Wednesday, a brief shot, a little bit of some very light rain or some snowflakes developing. Again, not going to accumulate or measure up maybe on the hood of the vehicle outside, on the deck, something like that. But with temperatures tomorrow expected to head up to around 50 or so, it really doesn't stand much of a chance. In fact, some sunshine breaks out even after that little system zips through here. Well, we hold on to southwest winds through the day, and that really does help to keep that mild air in place and kind of eliminate some of that chill factor, even though winds may gust up near 25 on Wednesday. And then we're back to some sunshine, mild air, cooling toward the end of the week. Well, you knew that was going to happen. We can't stay this warm to get December underway and not expect some changes. We start falling back toward the mid-30s. That's about normal, and that could happen for us as we start the weekend. And then I expect we stay a little on the cooler side, at least on to the early part of next week. A couple of chances for some of that very scattered, very light snow, or I guess we have to say rain-snow mix with the amount of mild air that's in the area. But that's about the worst it's going to be. Not overly windy, not like last week with those really strong winds, but it will be breezy yet today and even into the day tomorrow. All in all, a very mild beginning to our month of December. And a pretty nice way to wrap up November for that fact, too. Not bad to get something done outdoors. I'll have our forecast details right after this.
Farmers understand return on investment. They understand the power and the value of the sun.
Cameron Olson, owner of Olson Solar Energy.
This is just another opportunity for them to look for that power and that value. It's a business decision. Everything that farmers do and don't do on their land and their with their property is money. So one of the things that I heard one farmer say, it's a crop that I am yielding. instead of harvesting corn on this little section, he's harvesting sunlight to make electricity. You should reach out to us, and we will come out there for a very specialized, specific quote for you to look at your farm. We can put solar anywhere. We can put it on a barn. We can put it on the ground. We can put it on a hill. So we can put it anywhere that makes sense to you and your farm and your situation. And then once we design that, even powering your whole farm, you can harvest enough sunlight to have a $0 energy bill.
Go to OlsonSolarEnergy.com to start saving. Go green, save green with Olson Solar Energy.
Boy, I'll tell you, Stu, one thing about this mild weather, it's really allowed people to get the holiday decorations up, which on my drive in at about 2 in the morning is nice to see. It's nice to see some colored lights, something sparkly out there. It looks like even if you didn't get a chance to put them up yet, you've got a few more windows of opportunity this week, huh?
Oh, absolutely. A couple of more days where the weather is going to be a bit helpful for that kind of operation. I noticed some last evening, too, trying to get back home as the sun's down, that it's lit up and looks kind of nice. So today, I expect us all to be lit up. More sunshine, a very fine day. In the mid-40s, a lot of places could push 50 at La Crosse with a northwest wind about 5 to 15. But tonight, the clouds develop. And late in the night, after midnight toward daybreak, very light rain or a bit of a rain-snow mix may be developing from west to east. Well, we drop down near freezing. Could be a little slick here or there. Be on the alert. Northwest winds overnight 5 to 10 become south before daybreak. And then there's Wednesday. That little bit of light rain or snow lingering early in the morning should end, I'd say, by 10 o'clock or so in the east. That should be about the extent. Becoming partly sunny, very mild. A lot of 50-degree readings, even warmer at La Crosse and Mauston, with the southwest winds gusting near 25, though that cools it a little. By Thursday, back to mostly sunny, still very fine. A lot of upper 40s and low 50s, northwest winds 5 to 15. Even Friday, Pam, as it starts to cool, still some sunshine expected, but yeah, probably in the low and mid-40s. That's still way above that 36-degree normal high, so I think it'll feel like a really nice week.
Yeah. Is anybody getting it? Is there any place that's got some measurable snow on the ground?
Well, you head over east in the Great Lakes. They're going to Lake Ontario, that area. They're going to talk several inches of snow. And that snow belt up in the UP, they've got a couple of new inches on the ground. But they're also going to share the mild air here in the next couple of days. And it's time is limited.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, we'll catch up with you tomorrow and see if we can start racking up different reporters with warm temperatures to give us an update on, huh?
That'd be kind of exciting.
For this time in November, December, you bet. All right, Stumach, ag meteorologist, joining us with your weather update so far for a Tuesday morning.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Compeer Financial wishes farmers and agribusiness a safe harvest season. Stay in touch with your local Compeer team throughout the year to see how they can help make your plans a reality. Exceptional client experience at the heart of everything they do. Visit Compeer.com or call 844-426-6733 today. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and provider. Copyright 2021, all rights reserved.
What have we here? Crackers. At least I think they are. They're in a cellophane wrapper. There are two of them. Crackers always travel in pairs. They snap like crackers. Crumble like them, too. 9 out of 10 cracker eaters would give them a positive ID. But these aren't crackers. They're dinner. Jim Krevix for 5 days straight. There are people like Jim all across Madison, and because the need is there, so are we. This year, we'll supply people like Jim over $950,000 in food through Dane County's busiest food pantry, just one part of the more than $1.4 million in clothing, shelter, furniture, and other goods and services we provide. We're St. Vincent de Paul, helping our neighbors in need.
Someday, everyone will have an energy-efficient tankless water heater and an endless supply of hot water. Benjamin Plumbing is now an A-certified dealer of Rinnai tankless water heaters, the number one selling tankless water heater in North America. Rinnai tankless water heaters are up to 40% more efficient and provide endless hot water. Stop wasting tons of energy keeping 40, 50, even 75 gallons of water hot all day and night with your old water heater. Call Benjamin Plumbing today and learn more about the new state-of-the-art energy-efficient Rinnai tankless water heaters, including a factory-extended warranty. Go tankless. Endless hot water for your home with a new Rinnai water heater from Benjamin Plumbing.
Hi, Dale Benjamin with Benjamin Plumbing. When we say your plumbing problem is fixed, we mean it. No excuses. I guarantee it. Contact Benjamin Plumbing at BenjaminPlumbing.com.
Now you've got a friend in the plumbing business.
Benjamin Plumbing.
Looking for that unique, one-of-a-kind engagement ring, something that you can customize yourself, maybe a gorgeous pendant necklace, diamond earrings. The place to go, Goodman's Jewelers. They're an icon in Madison. They've been around forever and right on State Street in their same location, a couple blocks from the state capitol. They're the place to go to when it comes to buying jewelry. Goodman's Jewelers has everything from the more traditional style jewelry for your engagement rings, pendants, necklaces, earrings, to the more modern styles as well. They can customize and create anything for you. Unique, funky diamonds, one-of-a-kind pieces, stuff you won't find anywhere else, and price range for everyone. When you step into Goodman's Jewelers, you'll feel the warmth and you'll feel welcome. They'll treat you just like family. You want to go somewhere where you can trust when you're buying jewelry for that special someone? Then remember my friends and family at Goodman's Jewelers. Right there, a couple blocks from the state capitol on State Street. Goodman's Jewelers.
As we move into the cold winter months, you may notice drafts around your windows and doors. Now is the time to let Prairie Exteriors give you a full, free inspection and show you what new windows and doors can do for the health of your family and your home.
Improve the look and value of your property with one of the area's highest-rated exterior companies, Prairie Exteriors.
Prairie Exteriors, now that's impressive.
PrairieExteriors.com.
the Madison Police Department, and Madison Area Crime Stoppers need your help with an armed robbery investigation. On October 30th at 3:41 a.m., officers were dispatched to the Quick Trip at 7502 Mineral Point Road for an armed robbery. The suspect entered the Quick Trip with a black handgun and demanded cash. The suspect is described as a slender, light-skinned male in his mid-20s. He is approximately 6 feet 2 inches tall, wearing a blue hoodie, black pants, and vest with a blue mask. He fled with an undetermined amount of cash. This incident may be related to an armed robbery at Walgreens on Mineral Point Road. If you have any information regarding this incident, please contact the Madison Police Department at 608-255-2345. If you wish to remain anonymous, please contact Madison Area Crime Stoppers at 608-266-6014 or on the web at p3tips.com. Individuals contacting Crime Stoppers can receive up to $1,000 in cash rewards for tips that lead to an arrest.
Yet, Zach, for Minnesota getting the axe, the Big Ten West being nothing, and then the Big Ten title game out of the picture. I still am processing the 4th-and-1 punt decision. I can't get over it.
Yeah, no, that's egregious. That is just insane.
I can't get over it. I can't stop thinking about it. It's consuming me.
Again, it's one of those that didn't make the game. It didn't matter. They weren't winning the game, right? But it's just like those are.
It was a microcosm of the game and just the awful plan.
Yes. It was a moment that you're like, how is this happening with this guy? And especially an experienced coach like that. It's something that shouldn't happen. I go back to the Army game where they didn't go for two when they went up 20-7. Well, we just wanted to get the points. Or actually, 19-7, and they didn't get. It could have cost them the game.
Yeah.
It could have.
Yeah.
It didn't, but it could have. Like those are just decisions that easy decisions. But in terms of things that cost them the game, Ben. Yes, the inability or unwillingness to continue to run the ball certainly hurt.
All right, Zach.
Played a role.
Zach, you also were in at Green Bay Lambeau yesterday. Real quick, I mean, could you even sleep last night after that pump of speech at halftime from Charles Woodson? How electric was it to see his name added to the Ring of Honor?
I'll be honest, Charles Woodson's one of my favorite players ever.
He's incredible.
Obviously, people will think of him as an Oakland Raider, and that's fine. But what he did for Green Bay and what he was in Green Bay was just amazing. Second best free agent signing they've ever had. And I think still probably the biggest reason they won a Super Bowl, just with his attitude, just with his leadership ability and his playmaking, obviously, too. But it was awesome to see that. He's more than deserving to have that up there.
How was the vibe like afterwards? Obviously a little different when it comes to, interviewing the players, and Aaron Rodgers is on Zoom right now. But after the game, Packers get a nice little victory. Rodgers looked pretty damn good, right? What was the vibe like as they're entering the bye week now, hopefully to get healthier?
It's all about getting to the bye. That's what it was. But I think there were a lot of people who are wondering if they could put together I don't know if it was complete performance. It was probably the most complete they've had this year. I know that's what Matt LaFleur said, and it kind of felt like they thought so too, and yet they still left some other things out there. Aaron Rodgers said it should have been a 40-point game, and he's right. There were opportunities in the red zone that they didn't take advantage of, but getting the plays that they are from the defense, whether it's Rashawn Gary's, strip sack, or Phil Douglas with the pick six, and then you have Rodgers spreading the ball around to a bunch of different guys, A.J. Dillon running through people. It felt pretty good, I think, from their perspective, getting that win they desperately needed and heading into the bye, hopefully for their sake, to get a little bit healthier than they have been.
So have you heard anything about Jair Alexander or Za'Darius Smith potentially coming back? Have you heard anything?
Well, I think they're expecting both to come back. I saw Jair dancing on the sideline after the Rasul Douglas interception. We saw him in practice last week going through some drills. Obviously not practicing yet, but off to the side, going through some drills, catching balls. And, when you see that stuff, you're, looking at the shoulder, seeing if he's,
fist
laboring
pumping
at all. But it didn't look like he was. So that's certainly a positive. And I think Za'Darius Smith's a possibility towards the end of next month as well. And, you're kind of getting those guys back and putting them back in the mix. And it could be it's a good defense. It could be a really good defense if you get those two guys back in time for them to kind of round into form before the playoffs start.
Any word on Randall Cobb? Was it a hamstring injury?
Yeah, hamstring injury. I don't know when it happened because he did come off early.
Yeah, then he came back and he had the touchdown.
Yeah, he had. I mean, I think he had all but one of his catches after that, after the injury. So Yeah, I'm not positive on exactly. I don't know if you guys have seen anything this morning or not. There were no comments this morning or last night, I don't think, about it.
Yeah, it was a nice victory for the Packers over the Rams. You know, defense looked good at times, especially with that. And then the offensive line. Wow, talk about a mash unit, Zach.
Ninjman.
He did good, so I got to learn his name, right? Like, Aaron Rodgers was only sacked, what, one time, I think, from Von Miller, Aaron Donald and company?
He was sacked one time, and he was not happy about it because he thought it was kind of a zero. I mean, he didn't lose any yards. It was a zero-yard run. He got tripped up trying to, when he was scrambling up in the pocket. But, I mean, he did take some hits, but he thought that Yash played well, and there were no... He wasn't really worried about his blindside, and that says something for when you have a guy who's essentially your third-string left tackle playing out there. But we'll see.
Because we know your barn smells like money. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, I know some folks in Wisconsin have a little snow on the ground this morning, but it may not be around for the entire week. The weather looks pretty mild. Today's sunshine and 44. Tomorrow, cloudy skies, 50 degrees. Thursday, partly cloudy and 50 degrees. Friday, cloudy skies and 42 degrees. But that mild weather means that there should be no travel problems when it comes to attending the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's Young Farmer Conference and annual business meeting coming up this weekend. We're discussing it more in just a moment. I'm Pam Yockey. Now, from the Alcivia Farm News Desk, here's what's happening on a Tuesday. So, today, the 30th day of November, getting ready to say goodbye to November and on into December. On this day back in 1982, Michael Jackson's Thriller was released worldwide. Thought to be the best-selling album of all time, it had just 9 tracks, won 8 Grammy Awards, including Album of the Year in 1984. Released on this day back in 1982. On this day in 1940, stars of I Love Lucy got married. That was Lucille Ball and Desi Arnaz. Popular American comedy sitcom, I Love Lucy and the Lucy and Desi comedy show. They were married in real life for 20 years. Happened on this day back in 1947. Happy birthday to actress model Chrissy Teigen. She's 36. And Kaylee Cuoco, who is Leonard's wife on The Big Bang Theory. She is 36 today as well. So there you go. Well, like I mentioned, we're looking forward to seeing a lot of folks coming up this weekend for face-to-face interaction at the Wisconsin Farm Bureau Federation's annual convention at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Now, we'll be hosting the Young Farmers on Friday night for their kickoff session, as well as entertainment, and also be around on Saturday introducing people to the trade show vendors that are there, and also introducing guest speakers in breakout sessions. So look for the entire Midwest Farm Report team both Friday and Saturday at the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells. Aaron joins us this morning with a quick preview on what you can look forward to.
Well, it's getting to be that time of year with many different conferences and conventions going on in the agriculture industry. And I'm here today with Wendy Cannell, Senior Director of Member Relations for Wisconsin Farm Bureau. And just coming up, actually, this weekend is going to be the Young Farmers and Agriculturists Conference, as well as the Wisconsin Farm Bureau annual meeting. So, Wendy, for maybe some people that are not quite as familiar with the event, let's talk a little bit about what goes on in the Dells and kind of what you have planned for the weekend.
Sure. Well, always the first weekend of December, Wisconsin Farm Bureau members from across the state gather at the Kalahari in Wisconsin Dells and do a lot of networking with other Farm Bureau members, but also participate in educational workshops. Our young farmers will be participating in various contests. We'll have some keynote speakers. And then the weekend will wrap up with our policy development process, where members will talk about issues that are important to them in agriculture.
Sure. Now, let's, I guess, first touch on that Young Farmers in Agriculture, since I guess that's kind of the first chunk of the conference. You know, let's talk about that and, you know, what that offers to these young farmers and agriculturists, how they can get involved and why it's a good thing for them to attend.
I think what you'll hear from our young farmer members who attend the conference, they'll say that one of the highlights of the weekend is getting to network, whether it be with people who are directly involved with production agriculture or those who work in ag business. it's always good for people to meet and learn from one another, and that's one of the highlights. Members will also have the opportunity to learn about new technologies in agriculture, learn how they can make their farms and businesses better through a series of workshops, and also see what Farm Bureau has for them in terms of leadership and professional development opportunities.
Then we get to the end of the conference, and that's when you said you get to the policy things and you start digging into that. Let's talk a little bit about that and, you know, what Farm Bureau is looking at as far as what's going to be on the dock this time.
Sure. So Farm Bureau members have been talking about different ag policies throughout most of the fall and now as we head into annual meeting. So it all starts with our members at their county annual meeting. So each of our 61 county Farm Bureaus held annual meetings earlier this fall and talked about some of those policies, and those went on to our policy development committee. So we have a state committee that's made up of members. They go through all of the recommendations that were made, and then those will be discussed at this year's annual meeting. And so we have a wide variety of topics that members will be discussing, but that will set the policy for our staff for the rest of the year.
All right, that's awesome. And we're looking forward to being there as well. That's Wendy Cannell, Senior Director of Member Relations with the Wisconsin Farm Bureau, with some information on the things that they have coming up here this weekend in Wisconsin Dells. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Aaron Zimmerman.
Aloha, fabulous Farm Babe Pam Yonke inviting you to join me on a four-island tour of the Hawaiian Islands, March 21st through April 2nd. This is going to be a fantastic tour, not only including beautiful tropical scenery, but learning about Hawaii's agriculture, pineapple production, salt harvesting, and more. You can get a free brochure by calling Holiday Vacations, 888-557-1020. That number again, 888-557-1020. 1020.
Gemplers has Carhartt for the whole crew this season. In stock and ready to ship to you today. Jackets, sweatshirts, hats, gloves, and gear to keep you and your hardworking team warm all winter. Plus, get free gifts with orders of $100 or more. Gemplers helps you stock up on Carhartt while giving you a little something extra this holiday season. Shop Carhartt and other favorites at Gemplers.com. Or shop their store in Mount Horeb.
Well, the very last of our crop progress reports came out yesterday from the Wisconsin Ag Statistical Service, and it wrapped it up into a pretty tidy little package. We've got 96% of our corn for grain that was harvested. That's basically well ahead of our five-year average. Moisture content in the last of that grain was right around 17%. 90% of our fall tillage is done. That is ahead of our normal 71%. And winter wheat, 77% of that, it's called good to excellent. That is a 3 percentage points drop in just 1 week's time. More and more farmers now are going to start to be paying attention to the moisture that they're receiving out there. You know, like we said, it's either been coming in the way of light rain or it's been snow. Across the state right now, 20% of our topsoil moisture is called short. 20% of our subsoil moisture called short. So that's a story that we are going to continue to monitor through the winter months. Markets in overnight electronic trade this morning. To be honest, we'll talk with John Heinberg about it in a moment. Seems like there's a lot of conversation on the world news sites this morning about Omicron. That's that new variant of the coronavirus that they're tracking around the world. A lot of conversation about could this potentially start shutting down more businesses, more communities. Already the European Union, United Kingdom, leaving certain countries off their list of admissions. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average right now is down more than 500 points before they even get started trading this morning. Our current markets, December corn's down 9 at 572. January soybeans are down a dime at 1231. December wheat's down 17.5 at 790. July new crop wheat down 14 at 803 a bushel. Dairy markets yesterday, barrel cheese was up a penny at 153.5. 40-pound block cheese was unchanged at 185.75. Double A butter also unchanged at $1.99 a pound. Like I said, we'll be talking with John Heinberg about the numbers and what's developing as far as news in just a little bit. Today is Giving Tuesday, and the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, along with the Department of Financial Institutions, really wants to make sure that those wonderful people that are generous, that want to give to good causes, do it in a safe way.
There are a lot of scammers out there these days. Everybody looking to steal your money when you're thinking about how you can help others. So here's some suggestions for Giving Tuesday. If you receive a phone call, email, or text from somebody asking for a donation, do not make payment over the phone. Do not click on links or attachments in emails or text messages or on social media posts. You don't want to share that information with those people. Do not donate cash through cash apps or cryptocurrency or by wiring money to people. Do not do it. It's impossible to reverse. Watch for imposter website links or social media profiles. If you don't recognize the name or the phone number, ask who's making the request. Ask for the name, the address, the phone number of the organization that's asking for the donation. Ask how your donation will be used, what percentage of your donation will be used for the program services that you're working towards, and what the administrative costs are. And ask a caller to send written material about the organization. Those are just a couple suggestions that the Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection, along with the Department of Financial Institutions, suggesting for good folks that want to do good things on Giving Tuesday. Now, we are also trying to help you not only with those safety points, but also trying to keep you up to date on some of the agriculture-related nonprofits that would appreciate your financial support, not the least of which, of course, Wisconsin 4-H Foundation, Wisconsin FFA Foundation, AgriAbility. These are just a few of the nonprofits that we've got up on our website, MidwestFarmReport.com, Fabulous Farm Babe on Facebook, to try to help you if you want to specifically donate your charitable dollars towards agriculture-related assistance. Again, we'll try to update that list throughout the course of the day. Well, we're talking about what's going on with this market this morning and what the world's talking about. John Heinberg, market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, joins us live in just a moment.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
When it comes to vaping, the truth can get clouded. So let's make it clear. Vaping is not safe for kids, teens, or young adults. It's just not.
Because vaping can put microscopic particles into your lungs.
And dangerous things like metals and volatile organic compounds into your body.
And nicotine, the same highly addictive substance found in regular cigarettes.
Nicotine can harm a person's brain development through their mid-20s.
Affecting learning, memory, attention, and impulse control. And priming the brain for other addictions.
Vaping products also come in kid-friendly flavors that can make them appealing to youth.
And many kids also use other drugs, like marijuana, in vaping devices.
With appealing flavors, high nicotine levels, and lots of promotion on social media,
many kids think vaping is harmless, but it's not.
So talk to your kids about the risks of vaping, because when you talk, they hear you.
For more information, visit underagedrinking.samhsa.gov.
Looking for that unique, one-of-a-kind engagement ring, something that you can customize yourself, maybe a gorgeous pendant necklace, diamond earrings. The place to go, Goodman's Jewelers. They're an icon in Madison. They've been around forever and right on State Street in their same location, a couple blocks from the state capitol. They're the place to go to when it comes to buying jewelry. Goodman's Jewelers has everything from the more traditional style jewelry for your engagement rings, pendants, necklaces, earrings, to the more modern styles as well. They can customize and create anything for you. Unique, funky diamonds, one-of-a-kind pieces, stuff you won't find anywhere else, and price range for everyone. When you step into Goodman's Jewelers, you'll feel the warmth and you'll feel welcome. They'll treat you just like family. You want to go somewhere where you can trust when you're buying jewelry for that special someone? Then remember my friends and family at Goodman's Jewelers. Right there, a couple blocks from the state capitol on State Street. Goodman's Jewelers.
Farm goddess, agricultural princess, queen of all that moves. Nah, let's stick with Farm Babe. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Well, I'll tell you what, if you've been a little sensitive on your 401k, don't look at it this morning. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is better than it was when I looked at it about 2 o'clock this morning, but it's still down better than 400 points. That's one of the elements that we're talking about this morning with John Heinberg, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Yeah, that story started building yesterday, John, actually on Friday, and then we recovered a little bit yesterday, but now it looks like the fear factor over this latest variant, as far as the pandemic is concerned, has us trailing red ink all over the place this morning.
Yeah, it does. Excuse me. Sorry. Unfortunately, if we, markets don't like uncertainty. And here comes those headlines that came out again on, Thursday night into Friday morning. And we saw the Dow drop over 1,000 points that day. Crude oil lost $10 a barrel. And obviously that trickled through the markets. Actually, the grains performed pretty well that day on Friday. It was kind of encouraging to see the grain prices, especially corn, and kind of climb back up into positive territory by the end of the day. So it gives me a little faith that there's still some pretty good buying strength out there. But here we are again this morning. We're seeing the Dow and crude oil push to new lows. They're taking out the lows from Friday as we got that risk-off mentality that's spilling over into the grain markets, which didn't have the best day yesterday, and some of the charts are starting to fall apart a little bit technically. Probably most concerned about the bean chart right now in terms of where it closed yesterday and what's on the potential downside here. Obviously, there is some fundamental story behind the beans with the improving crop in South America or that Brazil crop coming down the pipeline. Wheat's already made a strong correction. It's lost 70 cents here off its most recent high. Corn's going to go back and challenge that low from Friday so far here this morning.
Now, let's go back to wheat for just a moment, because last time we talked, we thought that wheat was going to get bearish, or I should say bullish, because of possible restrictions that Russia was going to put on their world supply. So that story seems to be fizzling a little bit, huh?
At least in the short term, it did. I mean, we still continue to see some of those concerns. Now, Egypt actually pumped out a very strong tender looking for a good chunk of wheat supplies, but the market on Wednesday put what we call a reversal in. We traded to new contract highs, finished the day negative. That's what we call a hook reversal. We saw that follow through on Friday with that, with the news adding the pressure to it. Another break yesterday, and now today we're down 790 in December wheat here. So we're watching where this thing can drop to. Now I'm kind of targeting maybe another dime or so lower, then we should have some pretty good support, still keep the uptrend intact, but it's just a window here. We're getting a bit of a deep correction in that market. The story is still basically the same in terms of what we're looking at on the global supply, but all of a sudden here the end users are getting a little bit of a break and prices are coming back for them. So again, today will be kind of key, I think, for a lot of these grains. If we can kind of dig our heels in here, the fundamental story, especially in corn and wheat, are still out there to keep prices supported. And this global supply chain is still looking for those bushels.
Let's pivot to dairy, John, because that is one that doesn't seem to be paying attention to world news. We're still pretty strong as far as our dairy complex.
Yeah, dairy complex. Obviously, we're off our most recent highs. We kind of maybe surged out a little too fast there to get back up and, challenge that $19, $19.50 area on some of these front months. But we're holding in here pretty doggone nicely. You go look at the product markets. I mean, things are really trading well. Butter is trading at its highest levels for the year. Non-fat dry milk, dried whey, those types of products, have got good export demand under them, and they're holding this dairy price up, at least in this window. But again, we talk about it multiple times in here. There's still some good value. You're looking at next year's prices. I got pretty much $18.50, $18.60 across the board as an average for 2022. Probably a heck of a window. Make sure you're still building some floor, because we talk about it all the time. All we are is one headline away, as we saw on Friday, from prices really wanting to fall back, as they take that risk off quickly.
Now, I don't want to belabor it, but have you seen any headlines this morning, John, that would justify the big drop on the Dow Jones? Is there a new country that's added somebody to a list, or is there something out there news-wise that is inspiring this kind of loss on the Dow?
There's so many things that are buzzing around. Obviously, today we got Fed Chairman Powell, as well as Janet Yellen, going to testify in front of the Senate today. So there's a little concern about what they're going to be saying in their testimony about that, how the new variant of COVID could possibly slow economic recovery. Then on top of that, though, on the kind of the news headline, Regeneron, which had that basically that drug cocktail that was supposed to help, in terms of COVID patients, they came out and said it would not be as effective against the new variant. And obviously there's a lot of research that's being done, a lot of news moving very quickly. You got a lot lot of different viewpoints out there. And like we said before, markets don't like uncertainty. And right now we have a lot of that, at least on that front, about what could possibly happen over the next handful of months.
And now we're going to turn another calendar page. December is a tough month because so much of it is focused in on what's going on with the holiday break and things like that. Is there anything in December we need to look towards?
You know, as we get moving into the rest of the year, you know, obviously, like you just said, December is a quiet month. You know, some of this may be just end of the year profit taking, and they got a reason to do it now. You know, so that's something I've been kind of watching. You know, there's a lot of good gains in that equities market all through the course of the year. So it's a good window to pull some money off the table here, especially with some uncertainty. You know, when you go into the ag side, the grains, obviously now we're going to be watching South American weather extremely closely. You know, we don't have any reports now that are really of consequence. We'll get a December report here next week. That'll just kind of give us some adjustments on that balance sheet. But the focus is going to be what's happening in South America. Does Argentina turn dry? That's kind of the talk right now that could give beans some support. And then we just set ourselves up for the January crop production numbers, which will be that final analysis of this year's crops, you know, until the USDA can make another change again in September. So that'll set the goalpost basically for the entire first half of the year.
John Heinberg along with us, market advisor, Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. Remember their website, totalfarmmarketing.com. Toll-free number, 800-334-9779. All right, John, get ready for a wild ride. We'll catch up with you next week, all right?
Sounds good. Have a great week.
All right, John Heinberg joining us live this morning with the latest market information.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.